Hello, this is Dee with the Vermilion County News for February 10th, 2020. We'll begin our reading today with the front page article, Doing Something Right, Families See Multiple MLK Scholarship Recipients by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. Having one daughter receive the local MLK scholarship is quite a feat, but Danville High School new tech secretary Tia Awadia must be doing something right to have two daughters as recipients. She's not the only one. There have been four families through the years who have seen siblings awarded the scholarship. The Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration Committee started giving scholarships to high school graduating students in 1997. The committee accepts applications each year for a $4,000 scholarship. The chosen recipient is a high school graduating senior who plans to pursue his or her education at an institution of higher learning. The selection of the scholarship recipient by the MLK committee is not based on any racial, religious, ethnic, or cultural affiliation. Tia Awadia's 17-year-old daughter, Grace, a senior at DHS, is this year's MLK scholarship recipient. Grace said she was getting ready for a job interview when her mother received notice in the mail and called out that Grace had won the scholarship. I couldn't believe it, Grace said. She said her brother and sister started dancing. Grace, who hopes to also get a soccer scholarship, hopes to go to Parkland College in Champaign for 2 years after high school. She then isn't sure where she'll continue her education. Grace plans on studying biology. She's been taking environmental science classes at DHS since her freshman year, which have interested her. Grace is a member of the Black Student Union and SAFE, Students Advocating Female Equality, and GCP, Global Careers and Professions. She also will be starting an OSF internship. I'll be shadowing and observing how it works in the medical field, she said about being at the Danville Hospital. Grace's sister, Lyric Cunningham, who was the MLK scholarship recipient in 2017, is a junior at Tennessee State University in Nashville, Tennessee. She's studying criminal justice and hopes to be an attorney. This year's MLK scholarship essay topic was, a key point in Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech is this statement, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. How do you see yourself as an advocate of this key point? Provide personal examples in your essay. Grace said she wanted to apply that part of the King's speech to all of us being different. We're so diverse, she said. Grace read her essay at the MLK Scholarship Banquet last month. She's been asked to read it at the February 18th Danville City Council meeting, and also at the Black History Month program on February 27th at the Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System. We've been blessed, Tia Awadia said. It's been special, she said, about having two daughters receive MLK scholarships. She said people have told her she must be doing something right. She appreciates those comments, but also says, I just do the best I can. Tia said she owes a lot to her children's upbringing through raising them up in church. The scholarship money definitely helps with college expenses, Tia and Grace both said. Danville Human Relations Administrator Sandra Finch said other scholarship recipients in the same family have included sisters Catrice Kirk in 2000, Erica Kirk in 2008, and Carly Kirk in 2013, Sabrina Brandon in 2002, and brother David Groves Jr. in 2010, and Ariel Davis in 2011, and a brother Elijah Davis in 2018. Finch said the majority of the 24 recipients graduated from college and went on to successful careers. She said parents' support of their children's education pursuits is important. It especially shows in the parents who have seen multiple scholarship winners, It says a lot about the families, Finch said. Next is an article by Grace E. Awadia. This caught my attention. 2020 Danville High School Senior. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Out of the many things Dr. King said, this caught my attention. Growing up in the church, I was always taught to love thy neighbor as thyself, and to look beyond physical appearances. Going into high school, I was a very quiet person and tried my best to stay out of the way. I constantly battled with my insecurities and believed that no matter what I did, I wouldn't make a difference. Thanks to my family, friends, and early teachings in church, I've grown to love who I am and will continue the cycle by encouraging others to do the same. As a community, it is important to put our differences aside and come together as one. With so many shootings and premature deaths, we can't continue to turn our backs on one another. This is a very crucial time for our city, and we need to act fast. As an active member of Black Student Union and students advocating female equality, my goal is to focus on the unity of our community and to raise awareness for equal opportunities. Those organizations allow me to spread positivity among Danville High School and build stronger bonds with my peers. Wanting to do more, I decided to start volunteering with the youth, where I learn something new every day. Once I experienced a case with a little boy who was pretty out of control. He never listened to adults, and there was always a problem with him and the other children. One day he was upset, so I sat down so he could have a conversation with me. It turned out this boy had some family issues back at home that had greatly affected him. The reasoning behind his actions was because of the environment he was put in. That was the day I realized that everything is not how they seem. We can be so quick to make assumptions about one another, yet have no idea what the person is going through. We have to realize that we need each other to prosper and make a difference in this world. Although it may seem like we have a long way to go, I am certain that God's plans for this community will come into play. We all have to come together as brothers and sisters and to love one another. We all have the potential to be something great. I guess sometime along the way, Dr. King's dream has somehow become my dream, and just like him, I would strive through obstacles to make our dream a reality. Our next article is entitled DAC Plans Black History Month Events by Carol Rem, Danville. Danville Area Community College will celebrate Black History Month during the next couple of weeks with three special events following the theme of Black History Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. All three events are free and open to students, faculty, staff, and community members. Refreshments will be served. Carla Boyd, who is DAC's Chief Diversity Officer and Assistant Vice President of Student Services, said the college's Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Ad Hoc Committee is the sponsor of the events. The first event is Yesterday, Black History in Our Community, that is set for 9 a.m. Wednesday, February 12th in the Bremer Conference Center. Some of Danville's most prominent residents will talk about their experience growing up and living in Danville prior to and during the Civil Rights Movement. Guest speakers include retired Public Safety Director Carl Alexander and his wife Janet, who retired from District 118, retired District 118 Principal Alice Payne, and District 118 School Board Member Gladys Davis. Boyd said other speakers also have been invited. We will hear stories of old and about the experiences of these wonderful individuals, Boyd said. These are African Americans that everyone knows, growing up in a time when Black history wasn't celebrated. They were growing up without civil rights and during violent times, and they will share their perspectives. She said they will also speak about the things they've seen and their hopes for the future. Tanisha Shade Spain, Economic Development Director at Vermilion Advantage, will moderate the panel-style format of the event, a soul food sample tasting prepared by Danville chef Mary Lewis, will follow the presentation. Today, Evolution of Gospel will take place from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Wednesday, February 19th in the Student Union in Lincoln Hall. The public is invited to experience spiritual hymns, raps, and more as they are taken on a journey through Black history with music. There will be singing and spoken word, Boyd said. Those participating include Kelsey Coleman, who is a published author of spoken word poems, DAC graphic design instructor Dwight Lucas Jr., who will play the saxophone, and DAC admissions office specialist Stephen Scott, who will sing. We're still asking a couple of folks if they'd like to participate. Boyd said we also will open it up to the audience. Student performers are encouraged to participate, and refreshments will be served. The third event, Tomorrow Black History and Its Future, will take place from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday, February 24th, in the Student Union in Lincoln Hall. The event will look at the future through the eyes of Meade Park Elementary School students, along with guest speaker Nicole Carter, a nursing instructor at DAC. We hope to share a video that Meade Park students made, Boyd said, referring to a video they made last month highlighting the positives around Danville. We hope to bring some of the kids over. Carter will speak on future opportunities and challenges in healthcare for African Americans, and refreshments will be served. Our next article is entitled Patients Going Shirtless Bring Smiles and Strength to All by Bert Constable, The Daily Herald, Bloomingdale. Comfortable in his skin, 11-year-old Michael Carr of Bloomingdale sometimes peels off his shirt when he makes his rounds. I'm known for it there, Michael says, of the shirtless look he's perfected during his more than 4 years as a cancer patient at Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago. I'm the mayor of the 18th floor. I like to play with kids, make them laugh, and help them, even if they have tubes and everything. Michael helps raise the spirits of adults, too. Michael Carr is an exceptional young man. I like to call him the mayor of Lurie's Children's, said Dr. Stuart Goldman, the division head of hematology, oncology, neuro-oncology, and stem cell transplantation at the hospital, who says he finds absolute joy in treating patients, such as Michael, who still want to be kids. He'll come up and rub my belly, ask if I have twins in there, which I love. He's an inspiration. You can't help but be happy when you spend time with Michael Carr. With his shirt off, Michael can show off the faint scar near the center of his chest, where doctors inserted a port for his chemotherapy. 3 years ago this month, Michael got to make the triumphant walk in front of family, friends, and his medical team to ring the end of chemo bell and celebrate. That summer, his family hosted a Done with Chemo party in the family's backyard with bounce houses and water slides. Michael's cancer returned in October 2017, and Michael has been enduring a new trial of oral chemotherapy ever since. His parents, Gia and Michael, recall how Michael got sick as a first grader at Erickson Elementary School in Bloomingdale. I threw up every morning, the boy says. Then there was the day they picked me up at school and took me to the hospital and I got an IV. On October 20, 2015, Michael was diagnosed with medulloblastoma, a type of brain tumor that starts at the base of the skull and affects between 250 and 500 kids a year. 3 days later, 2 days before his seventh birthday, he had his first brain surgery at Lurie Children's Hospital to remove the tumor. Then came 30 days of radiation at the Northwestern Medicine Proton Center in Warrenville. That's where I got the stickers, Michael says proudly, rushing off to his Chicago Blackhawks-themed bedroom to grab the laminated sheet of stickers awarded him after treatments. I enjoyed that. They always kept me asleep for it. While Michael and his parents acknowledge the stages of fighting cancer are not pleasant, Michael has found a way to make the best of it. Our next article is entitled Gun Organizations Sue State Over Delayed Gun ID Cards and Licenses, Associated Press Chicago. Two gun rights groups are suing the Illinois State Police for not promptly renewing firearm owners' identification cards. The Illinois State Rifle Association and the Second Amendment Foundation filed the lawsuit last week in federal court on behalf of Ryan Thomas and Goran Lazic, who said they've been waiting for their identification cards and concealed carry licenses since 2017. The group said the state police transferred nearly $30 million from funds used for the administration of the cards, background checks, and concealed carry licenses into other accounts, which has caused the application and appeals process to slow and come to a halt. Attorney David Seigel said he tried working with the police to move along the process, but he was left with no other option but to sue. "We're just going to sit on your license application, your FOID appeal, your renewal. We're just going to sit on it and passively deny people's rights. And that's what's happening here," Seigel said. But ISP said in a statement that it does not have the authority to sweep funds. In 2015 and 2018, $13.2 million was swept from the Firearms Service Fund into the General Fund during the budget crisis. ISP said under the current fiscal year, funds have not been swept, allowing the Firearms Service Bureau to start filling 17 analyst vacancies, procure technology to offer better customer service, and to begin building a new appeals bureau. The agency also has no deadline to respond to appeals and has been known to take months or years to issue a decision, according to the documents. In a statement, Illinois State Police spokeswoman Beth Hunsdorfer said last year 90% of applicants saw their paperwork processed in less than 30 days. She said it took an average of 65 days to renew a FOID card in 2019. Thomas lost his licenses when he moved out of state, and Lasik's licenses were taken away after he was arrested for domestic battery. The charges were later dropped, and the arrest was expunged. Thomas and Lasik said they usually carry a handgun for self-defense, but do not anymore because they fear prosecution for possessing a firearm without a license. And now we'll turn to reading our obituaries. The first is Alexander Alex Peter Cook, 89, from Westville, Illinois, died at 8:45 p.m. January 29th at his home in Athens, Alabama. His wishes were to be cremated, and there will be no services at this time. Marjorie Holderbaugh, 96, passed away Friday, February 7th in Washington, Missouri. A celebration of Marjorie's life will be held at 2 p.m. Tuesday, February 11th, 2020 at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville. Visitation will be held from 1 to 2 p.m. prior to the service. She will be laid to rest at Danville National Cemetery. Billy Dean Martin, 73, of Danville, passed away at 4:08 a.m. Thursday, February 6th, in the comfort of his home. Services for Billy will be today at 11 a.m. at Trinity Lutheran Church, with a visitation that was held prior to the service at 10 a.m. A burial followed at Lutheran Cemetery. Pastor Kent Tibben officiated. In lieu of flowers, contributions can be made to Trinity Lutheran Church or Trinity Lutheran School. Charlie Duckworth, a.k.a. Puny, 82, of Danville, passed this life Monday, February 3, 2020. A homegoing celebration will commence at noon today, Monday, February 10th, at New Life Church of Faith, 1419 North Bowman Avenue. Visitation will be 11 a.m. until the time of the service. Viewing will be from noon to 3 p.m. Sunday, February 9th. It happened yesterday at Leakinson's funeral home. Pastor Bobby R. Keyes officiated. Interment will be at Sand Hill Memorial Park. The Lord called Mylon Cowell 77 of Westville home on Thursday, February 6th. A visitation will be held for Mylon on Wednesday, February 12th, 2020, Central Standard Time from 4 to 7 p.m., with a funeral service on Thursday, February 13th at 11 a.m. Both will be held at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Georgetown, 200 East West Street, Georgetown. Dan Zebart will be leading the funeral service. Memorial contributions may be made to Maury Chapel Church in Westville. Robert Emery, 70, of Urbana, died Friday, February 7, 2020, in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services in Tilton. Our next article is by Sherry M. Askren, president of the United Way of Danville, and it is entitled, Try a Few Easy Ways to Save Some Money. Hello, good Sunday morning, everyone. Talking money this morning, how to keep more of it, kind of money talk. You liked the sound of that, didn't you? Most of these take very little work, but a lot of self-discipline. Number one, make a grocery list and never go shopping on an empty stomach. Shopping without a list, and especially while hungry, is dangerous to your wallet. If you make a menu for the week ahead and the shopping list from it, you should only be buying what you've intended. Shopping from a list keeps you focused, to spend less, but also keeps you from buying foods that may go bad before it gets eaten. Did you know that both Meijer and Walmart donate their expired produce to our local food pantry at Salvation Army? If you buy it and throw it away because it wasn't on your list, it just is wasted food that some family in need could have taken advantage of. Number two, if you must eat out, take advantage of the fast food restaurant deals. Culver's has buy one, get one free value baskets and double deluxe sandwich coupons, which is a huge savings. Arby's often has 2 for $5 sandwich specials. McDonald's has no coupon required $1, $2, and $3 food and drink specials every day. What about pizza? Little Caesar's Pizza has hot and ready pizzas every day for $5. Or you can bake it yourself by purchasing a Papa Murphy's Faves Pizza for $5 also. Anyone who gets mail, which is everyone, gets money-saving coupons in the mail all the time. It just takes a little effort to cut them out and use them. In the long run, your wallet and budget will thank you. Number three, buy in bulk. It can be expensive at the time of purchase, but in the long run, it will save you money. Membership in Sam's Club is $45, but even with that expense, if you buy dry goods and frozen food that won't go bad quickly, it can really save you some money. Meijer often has its 10 for $10 specials, which is not only giving you 10 items at a dollar apiece, it also gives you the 11th item for free. Again, if you are buying things that will get eaten before the expiration date, it is cost saving. Number four, quit buying expensive coffee drinks. I buy a Starbucks coffee most times when I go to Champaign or am traveling out of the area, but that's not often. And I really do love our Mad Goat coffee shops and their idea of bringing people together over coffee. It truly is where relationships and great conversations happen. That being said, let's do some math. If a latte costs $5 and you purchased one each day of the work week, you just spent $25, which equals $1,300 in a year's time. Coffee at home is around 30 cents a cup. I love that we have a variety of places to shop and eat out in our community, and I want it to stay that way. But I also want families to be prepared for emergencies that will come. Having an emergency savings of $1,000 requires putting back as little as $20 a week. By making some of these changes, your health and your finances will thank you. Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. And now we'll turn to a sports article entitled Falcons Battle to the Title. North Vermilion Rallies to Win Second Straight Sectional by Greg Flint, Attica, Indiana. For the second game in a row in sectional play, the North Vermilion girls basketball team found itself trailing late in the fourth quarter only to come back and win the contest. The Falcons trailed Clinton Central by 4 points going into the fourth quarter and were down one with 2 minutes and 59 seconds to go before rallying for a 49-43 win. It was a ragged game with both teams committing numerous turnovers against a strong defense by the opponent, many of the turnovers being unforced. I think their trapping defense made us hesitate, Hannah Ellis, a senior post player for the Falcons, said. We knew what we were supposed to do, but they were very quick and made it hard to pass, so we hesitated and that led to them getting in the passing lane. North Vermilion took a 13-10 lead into the second quarter on the Bulldogs, but Clinton Central tied the game at 17-all with 3 minutes left in the half and then took the lead. A 7-0 spurt in about 1 minute of game time led to the 24-17 score. But the Falcons got one last basket, a layup by Ava Martin, off a pass from Brianna West, to trail 24-19 at the halftime intermission. Martin got things going for North Vermilion as the third quarter began, hitting another layup, also thanks to another assist by West. Clinton Central followed with a three-pointer, and then the Falcons edged closer, getting two free throws by Ellis and a basket by Riley Downers from an assist by Mackenzie Crowder, to get within two at 27-25. In that third period, it seemed whenever the Falcons got close, the Bulldogs found free throws or a three-pointer to pull away again. After a pair of Clinton Central free throws, Martin got a pass from Ellis for a layup that closed the gap to one again at 28-27, only to see the Bulldogs hit another tray. With 1:26 to go in the third period, Clinton Central made yet another tray, with Downers responding with two made free throws to bring North Vermilion within four, 36-32, going into the fourth quarter. That period opened with Crowder hitting an open Downers for a tray, and then Martin, who had been attacking the basket with putbacks after rebounds, hit a free throw to tie the contest at 36-all with about 6 minutes to play. That my number one priority, getting rebounds, Martin said. We were all shooting okay, but my job is to rebound and score when we miss. Clinton Central went up by one on a free throw, but Ellis matched her before Crowder broke free on a fast break for a 39-37 score in favor of North Vermilion. The Bulldogs took the lead right back on a free throw and another basket at that aforementioned 2:59 mark, but Martin scored inside, and then Crowder found West free under the basket, and the Falcons were on top, 43-40. Clinton Central had a couple of chances to close the gap, but the best they could muster was one free throw before Crowder made a pair of them for a 45-41 score with 44 seconds left. The Bulldogs followed with a pair of free throws from the double bonus to cut the margin to two, but Martin hit a short jumper, and Ellis made a pair of free throws in the final 14 seconds to seal the 49-43 win. Mark Switzer, the Falcon head coach, said that for the last six or seven games, his team has been up and down, and he reminded his squad of that. According to Falcon Athletic Director Martin Brown, with the win, North Vermilion advances to play Blue River Valley in the opening game of the Tri-Central Regional at 10 a.m. Eastern Time next Saturday. This has been Dee with the Vermilion County News for February 10th, 2020. I hope you have a great day, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.